Chapter 4. In Mickey's feed, I had access to a scan of the terraforming facility, superimposed with a schematic from the original specs. Yeah, I think I knew where to look for the evidence I wanted. Through Mickey's camera, I saw the visual approaching on the shuttle's display. We had passed the tractor array already, still operating at optimal capacity according to the automated reports it was sending to the station. The facility was a huge platform in the upper atmosphere, far larger than the station, larger than a full-sized transit ring. Most of that space was for the pods that contained the enormous engines that would actually control the terraforming process. There was no visual of the planet itself. The facility hung in a layer of perpetual storm. Swirling, towering clouds filled with electrical discharges obscured any view of the surface.
"We're seeing good levels on all the environmentals,"
Cotter said from the cockpit, sharing an image of the readings through the feed.
"Are you sure you want to go with full gear?"
I tensed, certain it was going to be the wrong answer. "Mickey, tell her..." But Abena replied, "Yes, we'll go full safety protocol." That meant full suits, with filtering and emergency air supply, and some protection for vulnerable human bodies. "We'll keep to that until we can inspect the environmentals and take over facility control. Then we'll reevaluate." I relaxed. Then I reminded myself yet again that these weren't my clients. Mickey said,
"It's okay, Rin. Donna Benna is always cautious."
I've seen lots of dead, cautious humans, but I wasn't going to say that to Mickey. Through Mickey's eyes, I watched Abena gear up for the first assessment walkthrough. Cotter and Veeble were staying on the ship, but Wilkin and Girth, plus Hirina and the two other researchers, Braeus and Edgero, were going with Abena and Mickey. Wilkin exited the lock first, and her helmet cam sent the video into the feed. We had locked onto a passenger-only dock in the habitation pod, and the embarkation area wasn't big enough to accommodate heavy equipment or standard hauler bots. Power was on, but at minimal. Emergency light bands glowed at the floor level, halfway up the wall, and at the top, but the larger overheads were off. It was enough light for the humans to see without the special filters in the helmet cameras. Was it a good idea to board the facility here? The schematic showed a larger multi-use embarkation space on the level above us. This smaller loading zone could make the approach to the shuttle easier to defend, but it could also make it more difficult to get the team back into the shuttle if something went wrong. It was hard to say if it was a bad judgment or not. There was always the fact that humans are lousy at security. I would have gone in first with a full deployment of drones, leaving the humans on the sealed shuttle. I would have evaluated the facility, i.e. made sure there weren't any unwanted visitors, by walking around as bait, waiting for something to attack me, and only then brought the humans in. But don't mind me, it's not like I know what I'm doing or anything. The camera in Wilkin's armor sent video into the team feed as Wilkin moved forward. She went through the lock and into the corridor, and I noted no damage, just a few scuffs and scrapes on walls and floor, signs of normal use. Abena, Hirina, Mickey, and then Braeus and Edgero followed, with Girth bringing up the rear. I split my attention into 7 streams, one for each human's helmet camera plus Mickey. I was listening in on the team feed and comm, but that was all coming through Mickey, too. Abena said,
"Mickey, are you picking up anything?"
"No, Donna Benna," Mickey said.
It was scanning for signal activity from any resident systems. Since this facility had been built by Graycris, I was expecting the kind of hub system and sex system I was used to, or something compatible. There were lots of security cameras everywhere. They just weren't active. Mickey was right. There was nothing but dead air in here. No facility feed activity despite the power for lights and environmentals.
Maybe they thought the systems would be lonely if they were left active, Rin, Mickey said. What do you think? I wondered if Art had thought I was this stupid when it had been riding around in my head. Maybe, but the chances were good that if that had been the case, Art would have said so. That might be true, I said, because I knew now if I didn't answer all Mickey's questions, it might accidentally rat me out to the nearest human. But then I remembered this place had been meant to collapse and burn up in the atmosphere before GI had put it in the claim on it. I added, Gray Chris might have removed the central cores for the resident systems when they pulled out. They'd want to cut their losses. SEC and hub systems that could run a facility this complex would be hugely expensive. I didn't know about Gray Chris, but the company that owned me would never have left that much cash behind. And Mickey said, Don Abena, maybe Gray Chris removed the central cores for the resident systems when they pulled out. They would want to cut their losses. For fuck's sake. That makes sense, Hiruna said. She had been poking at her comm and added, There's some interference, maybe shielding? I can't pick up the station traffic anymore, though I can still hear Cotter and Veeble on our shuttle's feed. Edgero pulled a sample of the signal interference into his feed to study it. Yes, we know the shielding's pretty heavy, probably due to the disturbances in the atmosphere. As if on cue, a burst of signal static blotted out the comm and feed for 1.3 seconds. Heavy weather, Veeble commented over the comm. Watch out for rain. The team chuckled, and Mickey sent an amusement sigil into the team feed. Oh, a running joke. Those aren't annoying at all. Wilkin and Girth ignored the byplay. Ahead, Wilkin stepped out of the corridor into a larger space, the scanner on her armor telling her it was empty of life signs. She paced around the circumference, clearing the room, then signaled the others to come in. This space wasn't labeled on the schematic, but had decontam cubicles and environmental suits stored in racks against the walls. Again, no damage visible as the humans flashed their cameras around. Braeus said,
Was this a clean facility? I thought the biopod was separated and sealed. That's what it said in the schematic, wasn't it?
I'm sure that's the case, Hiruna said. She checked a panel on the nearest decontam cubicle. It still had power, but the doors were all in the upright position. Always a relief. Cubicles that something may be hiding in are no fun. Hiruna tried to get it to download a usage report to the feed, but its internal storage was empty. I checked Cotter and Veeble, who were both glued to their feeds, though Cotter still had a channel open to station. There was some interference, but he was still getting pings and answers from the station port authority. It probably was the atmospheric shielding that was blocking the team inside from contact with the station. Anyway, it was time to get moving. I slipped out of my storage cubby. I went down the corridor and cycled the lock, not allowing it to report the incident to its log. Cotter had heard the lock open on the station when I boarded, but this time was too occupied watching the team in the feed to notice. I stepped out into the cooler facility air and let the lock close and seal. The team had already moved out of the decontam room and headed toward the biopod to check its status. I started down the corridor. I'd missed my armor off and on before this, usually when I was having to walk through large crowds of humans in transit rings. After being forced to do it to survive, plus traveling with Ayers and the others, I was sort of used to talking to humans and making eye contact, though I didn't like it. This was the first time I missed my armor because I felt a physical threat. I moved silently through the decontam room and took the exit corridor, then turned down the branch that led away from the biopod toward the geopod. This corridor was the same as what I was seeing on Mickey's camera and the team feed. No damage, no signs of
hasty departure, just quiet corridors. I don't know why I expected to see damage and signs that the human staff had run for their lives. There was no indication that this was anything but a planned abandonment. Maybe I was thinking of Ravi Hyrule again. You'd think I'd seen the place, found out what had happened. The partial memories would fade. Not so much, it turned out. It shouldn't have been weird, but it was weird. I had Mickey and the team backburnered, so I knew exactly where they were, and their voices filled the silence in the feed. But there was something about this place that made my human skin prickle under my clothes. I hated that. I couldn't pin down what was bothering me. Scan was negative, and this far away from the team, there was no ambient sound except the whisper through the air system. Maybe it was the lack of security camera access, but I'd been in worse places with no cameras. Maybe it was something subliminal. Actually, it felt pretty liminal. Proliminal. Upliminal? Whatever. There was no knowledge base here to look it up. The team was proceeding down an outer corridor. On their left side, big bubble ports looked into a purple-gray cloud swirl in the storm. On the right were open passage locks leading down into the various engineering stacks. On a private channel to Mickey, Abena said, "This place makes my skin shiver, Mickey."
"I think so, too," Mickey said. "Even though it's empty, it's like someone might step out in front of us at any moment."
Well, Mickey wasn't wrong. Something glittered in the air ahead, but when I reached the lift junction, it was just an emergency marker display, floating below the ceiling and listing emergency exit procedures in 30 different languages. Hub systems offer continuous translation, and I'm guessing non-corporate political entities had something similar for their feeds, but in an emergency, you'd want to make sure the instructions were clear, even if the feed was down. There it was, cheerily doing its job in its empty hulk. I tapped my private connection to Mickey. "I'm about to use a lift, Mickey. If your scan picks up the power fluctuation, please don't tell anyone."
"Okay, Ren, where are you going?"
"I have to look at the geopod. It's part of my orders." The lift responded to a ping and arrived 1.5 seconds later, by which time I remembered that I told Mickey my job was to provide extra security for the assessment team. Oops. Fortunately, Mickey understood about orders, and it didn't occur to it to question me.
"Be careful, Rin," Mickey said. "This place makes our skin shiver."
I stepped into the lift and told it to go to the central geopod. The door slid shut and it whooshed away. I tracked it on the schematic as it curved past the giant bulbs used for atmosphere dispersal. I considered telling Mickey that I was here to collect data on possible alien remnant violations by Graycris. Nothing I was doing would hurt Abena or the team or Goodnight Lander Independent, and I was already lying about so much. But Mickey would tell Abena immediately. I knew it would. Not that her team wouldn't figure out on their own soon that something was sketchy about the terraforming facility. Like the decontam room near the passenger lock. You don't need a clean facility for terraforming, but you might if you were scavenging alien bio-remnants. But if Mickey told Abena, she would ask how it knew. And I knew Mickey would tell her about me. It wouldn't lie to a direct question. Who knew being a heartless killing machine would present so many moral dilemmas? Yes, that was sarcasm. The lift stopped, and the doors opened into another empty, quiet corridor. I followed it around and found the big hatchway into the main geological hub. It was a large, semicircular space with a section of ceiling that had been left clear. I'd seen the storm through Mickey and the humans' cameras in the corridor on the way to the biopod, but seeing it with my own eyes, no interface to interpret it, was different. The clouds were like a constantly moving structure, colors not so much swirling as in slow, ponderous motion. It was immense and wrong and terrible and beautiful all at the same time. I stood there for what I later clocked as 22 seconds, just staring. Something must have bled over into the feed, because Mickey said, "What are you looking at, Rin?" That jolted me out of the spell. Just the storm. The geopod has a clear dome.
"Can I see?"
I didn't know why not, so I made a copy of the visual, scrubbed any code that might identify me as a sec unit from it, and passed it to Mickey over the feed.
"Pretty," Mickey said.
Mickey ran the video a few times as it followed Abena down a ramp. They had passed a lift junction, but it wasn't big enough for all of them at once, and Wilkin sensibly refused to split the group. On the feed from Wilkin's cam, I spotted hovering marker displays with the descriptor symbols for biological hazard potential. They were nearly there, and I needed to get a move on. I wanted to be tucked up back in the shuttle and watching rise and fall of Sanctuary Moon by the time they finished their check of the biopod. The access consoles had been shut down, and the data storage would have been removed entirely, which was way more secure than just a system delete. But that wasn't where I intended to look. The schematic showed that the facility used diggers. Actually, geological manipulation, semi-autonomous, something, something. Apparently I deleted that out of permanent storage. Anyway, they aren't bots. They're just extensions of the geosystems. The diggers have their own onboard storage for their procedures and tasks, but they also have scanning capability and they log what they find. I found and booted their interface console, and yes, the diggers were still here, tucked under the geopod, curled up in containers 3 times the size of our shuttle, inert without their parent system. With the interface, I was able to make copies of their storage without waking them. Somebody had thought to order them to dump their logs, which would void their warranties, but I guess since the facility was supposed to fall into the planet, nobody had cared. Unfortunately for that somebody, the diggers had dumped their logs into their buffers and then been shut down before the buffers timed out and deleted. It was a lot of data, but I was able to construct a query to exclude the operation commands and other extraneous stuff. I had to make a direct connection to copy the data to the extra memory clips I'd implanted, which meant peeling back the skin around my right forearm weapon port again. Once I had that done, it went pretty quickly. I sat on the edge of the console, facing the door, and started up a favorite episode of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon in background to help pass the time, though I kept one channel on Mickey in the team feed. I had just finished when Mickey said, "Rin, is that you?" I was distracted, stopping the episode, untangling myself from the console and from the sleeping, mostly empty brains of the diggers. I knew the team was still over in the hub for the biopod. They were doing a physical assessment of the equipment for the biomatrices and trying to get the consoles rebooted. So the question didn't make sense. "Is that me what?"
"This."
Mickey sounded confused, worried. It sent me an audio clip. I heard the humans talking on the comms. Hirane and Ejiro, then Girth made a comment.
"The conversation?"
It was something about containment units not being where they were supposed to be, and I didn't understand why Mickey was confused.
"I'm still in the geopod."
"No, Rin. This."
Mickey replayed the clip and stripped out the comms audio so the human voices were much fainter. It was ambient audio. I could hear the air system. I could also hear light thumps, fast like a heartbeat. Oh. Oh, shit. I wasted 0.002 seconds throwing a code into Mickey's feed like I was responding to another sec unit. I was at the hatch to the geo hub before I realized I needed to say it or Mickey wouldn't understand what to do. I slammed around the corner and up the corridor toward the lift junction. "Mickey, you have an incoming, unknown, potential hostile moving toward your position. Determine direction, then alert your clients. In that order."
Mickey widened its scan, and the rest of its senses went dark as it shifted all its attention to audio. It was rotating, trying to get a wider field. I was still getting the comms on the human's feed, and Girth said,
"What's the little bot doing?"
"What's wrong, Mickey?"
Abena asked.
"Rin."
Mickey stopped trying to sound like a human and sent me an urgent assistance request tied to the raw audio data. I should have realized Mickey wasn't a security bot. It had no code to deal with this, and no one had ever shown it what to do in an emergency involving active and probably sentient hostiles. I reached the lift junction, but the stupid lift had returned to a neutral station somewhere. While I stood there like an idiot during the wasted seconds while the stupid lift returned to this position, I ran a quick analysis and compared it to the facility schematic. I put markers up for Mickey, the humans, and the incoming hostile and shoved it back into Mickey's feed. Mickey was already saying,
"Donna Benna, something is coming toward us. We need to take the outer corridor back to the shuttle."
It forwarded my active schematic to the humans. I stepped into the lift as the doors opened. As I hit the destination sequence, I compared the ambient audio Mickey was still processing with the projection on my schematic. This thing, whatever it was moving much faster than my first projection had indicated. I sent to Mickey, "No time to withdraw. Tell client to shelter in place and try to lock down area." Mickey was saying to Abena,
"Donna Benna, it's too close. We have to stay here and seal the door."
But Wilkin and Girth had finally understood what was happening, and I heard them shout at the assessment team to fall back down the corridor to the shuttle. I didn't need to look at my projections again. They weren't going to make it to the end of the corridor. This is why humans shouldn't work security. The situation changes too fast, and they can't keep up. I had sent the lift to the biopod, the nearest junction to the team's position. The door slid open, and I stepped into a wall of sound. Screaming. Energy weapon fire. I ran down the corridor and rounded the corner. I'm going to describe this as I reconstructed it from my and Mickey's camera feeds later, since at the time even I was mostly thinking, "Oh shit, oh shit." Wilkin and Girth had managed to get the group out of the biohub, up the ramp, and into a junction with three other corridors, which was pretty much the most optimal point for being attacked in this area. I mean, if I was going to attack someone, I couldn't have picked a better spot. I didn't have time to be too sarcastic about it, because Wilkin and Girth were discharging their weapons down the corridor curving off to the left. Even the emergency power lights down there were off, and I couldn't immediately see what they were shooting at. Edgero was against the far wall, just sliding to the floor like something had slammed him aside. The rightward corridor led to the next segment of the biopod, and there was a lock and heavy hatch that was in the process of sliding closed. Mickey, trying to follow my instructions, had triggered it via the emergency access on the wall. Brea staggered as if she'd been hit by something, and Abena grabbed her by the arm and steadied her. It looked like all the humans were intact, and Wilkin and Girth were driving off whatever it was they had blundered out here to meet and try to feed their clients to, and I was about to fall back. Then, in the closing gap between the hatch and the wall, something moved. It was too fast for me to make it out without rerunning my video and reviewing it. Almost before I could move, it reached past Mickey, grabbed Donna Benna by the helmet, and yanked her into the gap. Almost before I could move. I crossed the junction toward them, ducked past Mickey and Braeus, hit the wall, used my momentum to go up 2 meters so I was level with Donna Benna's body. I braced myself in the corner, planted 1 foot against the closing hatch, and pushed. I felt the strain even in my inorganic parts. I couldn't keep it open for long. One of Abena's flailing legs hit Braeus and knocked her to the floor. Mickey was the only one fast enough to act. It grabbed Donna Benna's torso, and its whole feed was one scream of an urgent assistance code. I got an arm around Abena's waist, pinning one of her arms. The other was desperately scrabbling to hold on to Mickey. If she hadn't been wearing the suit, she would have been torn in half. If the hatch hadn't had a safety sensor that was giving us time to clear the obstruction, she would have been crushed. I wasted 3 seconds trying to pry at the spidery thing gripping her helmet. It was red and had 8 multi-jointed fingers. That was all I could tell at the moment. Then I thought of the obvious solution. The air was breathable, and she could be treated for possible contamination as long as she still had her head. I felt around her neck, slowed down by the unfamiliar suit design, then my fingers hit the little tab. I would never have found it in time in my armor. The human skin overlay on my hands is much more sensitive. I pressed the tab and twisted, and the emergency release unlocked her helmet. It was stuck in the door for almost a full second, enough time for me to push off and twist away. Then the thing on the other side snatched it out of the gap, and the hatch snapped closed. I landed on my feet holding Donna Benna, head still attached. She slumped against me, gasping, her hands knotted in my jacket. Mickey was at my shoulder, worriedly poking at her feed, its long fingers gently lifting her hair to check her neck. It said, "Donna Benna, do you need medical assistance? Donna Benna, please answer." Girth and Wilkin stopped firing down the corridor, and my scan showed whatever was down there was long gone. From the floor, Breas gasped, "What was... are you..." Edgero, curled up at the base of the wall, shouted, "Abena!" I was congratulating myself, because nobody else ever does it, on the excellent save. Human security had literally just noticed that something had tried to steal their client's head. Then Girth said, "That's a sec unit." All the humans stared at me and Abena. More importantly, Wilkin and Girth had pointed their weapons at me. "Oh, Murderbot. What did you do?" "I don't even know. I suspect it has to do with the fact that I went from being told what to do and having every action monitored to being able to do whatever I wanted, and somewhere along the way my impulse control went to hell. The only way out of this was to kill them. If I did that, I'd have to kill all of them, including Mickey, including Abena." Her still-attached head was resting against my collarbone, and her hair was all warm and soft where it was in contact with my human skin. Right, so the only smart way out of this was to kill all of them. I was going to have to take the dumb way out of this. I made sure my face and voice were SEC unit neutral. I said, "I'm a SEC unit under contract to security consultant Rin, who was sent by Goodnight Lander Independent as an extra security measure for the assessment team." I had to admit I was a SEC unit. There was no augmented human who could do what I just did. Also, my right sleeve was still rolled up, exposing the weapon port in my forearm. The inorganic parts around the port might look like an augment designed to correct an injury, but the weapon port doesn't look anything else but what it is. It was at this point I remembered Mickey and how I had told it I was an augmented human security consultant. I had been in Mickey's feed, the connection so intimate even though I'd had my walls up. Mickey would know that the Rin it had been talking to this whole time was the SEC unit standing here. Yeah, I should have taken Mickey over earlier when I had the chance. There was no time to do it now. In my private connection to Mickey, I said, "Please, Mickey, I just want to help." Mickey cocked its head at me, then at Abena. Still dazed and possibly concussed, she hadn't let go of me yet. She stared up at me, her brow wrinkled in confusion. Following my wounded human protocol, I had upped my body temperature to try to prevent her from going into shock. She said, "Mickey, who is this?" Mickey said, "Security consultant Rin is my friend, Donna Benna. I was asked not to tell you, to keep you safe." Huh. That wasn't a lie, but it sure wasn't the truth either. Maybe Mickey had hidden depths. I saw Girth throw a startled glance at Wilkin. Wilkin reacted, but controlled it. They didn't speak on their feed connection. From the shuttle, Cotter demanded an update, asking if the team needed assistance. Breas said, "Edgero is injured." She pushed herself up the wall, shaking. "Is Abena all right? What happened?" Abena started to nod, then winced. She patted my arm and pushed away a little, and I let her stand on her own. "I'm fine." On the feed, she told Cotter to hold his position. Aloud, she said,
"Ejiro, how are you hurt?"
"It's my shoulder," Ejiro said. His voice indicated stress, his expression tense with pain. I started to tap med system and remembered I didn't have one. I know, I was all over the place. Ejiro added,
"What were those things? I couldn't see. Just shapes."
Wilkin and Girth still aimed their weapons at me. Donna, Benna, and Mickey were blocking clear shots from this angle, and if either Wilkin or Girth moved, I was going to have to do something about it. Then Mickey said,
"Donna, Benna, Hirana is missing and is not answering her feed or comm."
Well, crap. They weren't my humans. I hadn't done a head count. I checked Hirana's feed, feeling Abena, Wilkin, Girth, Breas, and Ejiro all in there too, calling for her. Her feed was still online, but it was inactive. That meant she was alive, but unconscious. I wasn't getting anything on my limited range scan, and neither was Mickey. On the comm from the shuttle, I heard Vibol cursing and Cotter telling her to shut up and listen. Abena's expression turned horrified. In the general feed, Mickey replayed the last seconds before I got here. Breaking the images down, I saw a fast-moving, shadowy shape approach from the main biopod access corridor. Just a sensor ghost in Mickey's vision when Mickey had hit the release to close the hatch. Then Mickey had turned to go to the corridor that led toward the central facility, but was too late. All it had was a glimpse of the pin lights on Hirana's suit disappearing into the dark as she was dragged away. Then Wilkin and Girth firing down the corridor after her. It had happened so fast, I don't think Wilkin and Girth had realized the hostile had taken Hirana. As the humans reviewed the video in the team feed, Ejiro looked like he might be sick, and Breas swore softly. Abena turned to Girth and Wilkin.
"We have to go after her."
"What were those things that... Why are you pointing that at me?"
They weren't pointing their weapons at her, but at me, just behind her.
Wilkin said, "That's a sec unit, Donna Benna. You need to step away from it until we sort this out. Where's this Rin? On the facility somewhere? It doesn't mesh with our brief from GI.
Abena had been in shock, but I could practically see her brain slam back online. Her jaw set and her expression turned hard. She countered,
"Where's Hirana? What took her? You're supposed to be our security."
Wilkin held her ground.
"Before we can look for her, I need to know why there's a sec unit here. It's a fair question."
Mickey sent into Abena's feed,
"Please, Donna Benna, Rin is my friend. Please say you knew Rin was here."
I thought there was no way Abena would take the word of her pet robot. And granted, her pet robot was being loose with the facts and phrasing the plea in a way that made it unclear that Consultant Rin and the SEC unit were actually the same, so its word wasn't worth much. Abena's angry gaze went from Wilkin to Girth. She said,
"I didn't know Rin would be on the facility. GI informed me before we left. The Oversight Division was sending Rin to provide additional security." She threw an opaque glance back at me. "Consultant Rin sent you?"
Fortunately, I hadn't just been standing there like a moron and didn't drop the perfectly good opening she was trying to hand me. "I'm Consultant Rin's contracted SEC unit. Consultant Rin is on the station and sent me to the facility on her shuttle."
Girth said, "We weren't told about this."
Wilkin snapped a glare at her. Still, no conversation between them on any private feed connection. There were a lot of questions they could ask. The scenario I had described, a client sending a SEC unit out to provide security for another set of clients, was technically possible, but would violate bond company regulations and warranties. But Girth took her weapon off me and pointed it where it should be, on the still open corridor where the hostile had taken Hirana.
Abena snapped, "I don't care what you were told. We need to find Hirana. Breas, you have to get Ejiro back to the ship. Girth, you go with him. Wilkin, either help me or give me a gun and go back to the ship with the others."
She switched to her feed to say, "Cotter, inform the station PA of our situation. Tell them we're not sure what attacked us yet. Tell them to be wary of possible raiders in the system." Cotter acknowledged.
"I can't help it. I like it when the humans are decisive, especially when it's the human who's in favor of not shooting me."
I said, "Consultant Rin has instructed me to help you in any way necessary." I kept my gaze on Abena because I was a SEC unit, and that was what a SEC unit would do. You talk to the client and leave the people holding the guns to decide if they should feel threatened by what you said or not. They should. They should feel really threatened. Wilkins said hurriedly, "We're your security team, Donabena. Of course we'll go. But you should get back to the ship with Girth and the others, and I'll go after Hirana with Rin's SEC unit."
Edgero struggled to stand, and Breas got under his good arm and levered him upright. Breas said, "I'm on the feed with Cotter, Abena. Vibol's prepping the medical bay."
Since I was the SEC unit now and everything, I said, "Don't take a lift. The hostile may take control of the system and bring a lift to its position."
"I know that," Girth snapped.
"I know you know that, asshole." Breas nodded at me and promised,
"No lifts."
She told Abena,
"Please be careful."
Abena said, "You too. Keep in contact with Cotter." She turned to Wilkin.
"I don't have time to argue. We need to go."
Mickey turned and started down the open corridor. Girth had to step out of its way. Abena picked up her helmet and followed Mickey. Wilkin hesitated but gave Girth a tap on the feed. Girth motioned to Edgero and Breas.
"Come on. It'll be okay."
I waited until Wilkin started after Abena, lengthening her stride to get in front. I moved up level with Abena and back-burnered Breas's feed so I could keep tabs on the group heading back to the shuttle.